Johnny Dollar.
John, this is Harry Branson, the Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty Insurance Company.
Well, it's about time, Harry. How come I haven't heard from you lately?
Fortunately, we've had no problems recently. That is, nothing requiring investigation.
Until now, huh?
Well, yes.
So what's the trouble? Arson? Mayhem? Murder?
John, it may be all of them. Unless you're able to put a stop to what's going on.
Sounds interesting. Who's involved in all this? And don't tell me you've been selling insurance to some gangster.
Well, as a matter of fact, he is.
What?
An ex-gangster. At least he was known to have been mixed up with gangsters for several years.
Who?
Bertie Larson.
Larson, huh? Well, at least the name sounds appropriate. So tell me what he's... Wait a minute.
Yes, John?
Isn't Bertie Larson the punk they've had before that special investigating committee?
Yes.
The Committee on Narcotics and Gambling, the one that has the hearings on television now and then?
That's the one.
Well, then, Harry, if you want my advice, you'll cancel his policy, pay him off with interest, and forget him.
I'm afraid that's impossible. What's more, since those hearings began, we've increased the face value of some of his policies.
You have what?
Yes. But now, in view of the threats he's been receiving, threats on his life, his home, his family, well, John...
Baby, you're in trouble.
John... Do you think you can help us?
And get my head blown off by some gunsel? Harry, this kind of stuff I shouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
But don't you see...
In spite of the big fee your company will have to pay me, in addition to my expenses,
John, just a minute.
At least it'll guarantee me a decent funeral.
A funeral?
But if that's the way you want it, as long as you're willing to pay through the nose for my service.
But, John, I didn't say... John, that is... listen to me, John.
Okay, keep your shirt on, Harry. I'll run on down there and see you.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty Insurance Company. Following is the account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Larson arson matter. Expense account item 1-1120 for a train to Philadelphia and a taxi to Philly Mutual's office over on Walnut Street. It was late in the afternoon, but Harry Branson, the perennial worry wart, was still there waiting for me, and he wasted no time in getting down to business.
Now, Bertie Larson, or more properly, Herbert James Larson, lives out in Penfield, John.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of part of West Philadelphia, isn't it?
Just beyond. He and his wife live in a very nice one-story brick home that we've insured for some $30,000.
And he must have done fairly well in the rackets and had sense enough to put some aside.
Also, John, we've insured his personal property, furniture, clothes, all the things in the house and so on, for some $20,000.
No kidding. And didn't you say you've increased some of his insurance lately?
To the figures I just mentioned. In the beginning, he was underinsured, but the policies provided for the increase at his option, provided...
Yeah, well,
of course,
that's all right. You don't need to go
provided,
into detail.
Provided, of course, that in no event should stipulated coverage exceed actual appraised valuation.
Yeah, well, now, Harry, if you...
In accordance with paragraphs A, B, and G of Article 21 of our standard comprehensive policy...
Harry...
Hmm? Oh, yes, John. Also, his life is insured with us for $20,000.
Making a total of $70,000.
$70,000, yes.
So if everything goes, including Bertie himself, somebody's liable to collect plenty.
Exactly.
Okay, who's the beneficiary?
His wife, Nora.
I see. And now you say that somebody's been threatening him.
Oh, yes. Ever since he agreed to appear before this investigating committee.
What kind of threats?
Over the telephone, he tells me, warning him that if he continues to testify, well, they haven't directly threatened his life, as I understand it, but they might as well have. And then last week...
Wait a sec, Harry. Haven't the police been in on this?
Oh, yes. Yes, they have. And for a while, they kept some men stationed about his place.
So, naturally, nothing happened.
But last week, John, when he returned from one of the hearings, he phoned me and said that he'd found a can of gasoline standing on his front doorstep.
Ah, just a hint, huh, of what might happen if he doesn't clam up. Yeah, that's an old-style gang warning.
Yes, a very obvious threat to burn up his home.
But he's continued to appear at the hearings?
Yes. And if he's killed off by these people, if his home is burned out from under
him... By what people, Harry? Has he any idea who might be behind this monkey business?
Well, of course. It must be someone who was involved with him in narcotics and illegal gambling at one time or another.
But he doesn't know exactly who.
Not specifically. He says he never recognized the voice on the phone. And, of course, it was probably well disguised.
Yeah. Do you suppose he's still involved in the rackets?
Oh, apparently not, or we'd never have sold him insurance. But then who can be sure? The point is, John, that if anything does happen to him, or to that home of his, the company will have to pay out sizable sums of money.
Yeah.
Naturally, we don't want to do that.
No.
And if he can be protected properly... Well, John, that's why I telephoned to you.
Yeah, but Harry, the kind of protection you seem to want for him is something for the police to provide.
John, I am convinced that the protection they are giving Bertie Larson is wholly inadequate.
You told them so?
I most certainly have. But they simply refuse to listen to me. Well, that is why I called you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Harry, but it seems to me that... Well... Okay, give me his address. Tell me who the police contact is, and I'll see what I can do for you. I dropped my bags at the Bellevue Stratford. Then, having missed my lunch, I spent item 2, $5.25 for a drink and some early dinner. Item 3, $50 deposit on a rental car, and I headed out through West Philadelphia to the address in Penfield. As Harriet said, it was a nice place, not large, but neat and modern, sitting at the end of a new street. Apparently, there was no one home. I looked around to see if there was a patrolman watching over the place. No one. Nothing. And the street itself was deserted. I was just about to swing around and head for police headquarters when I noticed a thin streak of light from one of the rear windows in spite of the drawn shades. Yeah, I suppose I'll learn one of these days not to be so curious. But I walked quietly up the driveway beside the house. And then I heard something. Just a little sound, as though someone had quietly opened or closed a door at the side of the garage in the rear. And I suddenly caught the smell of gas, of raw gasoline. It was coming from the garage. I carefully edged my way on back there, hoping I wouldn't trip over something in the darkness that would give me away. The smell of gasoline was stronger now, much stronger. My next step was into a puddle in front of the garage door. I remember bending over to sniff at it, and it was gasoline, all right. And I remember a flashlight stabbing through the darkness behind me. But as I rose and turned... I came to in a hospital room, and I had company. One of them was in a blue uniform with brass buttons with the stripes of a sergeant on his sleeves.
So you decided to come back to the land of the living, huh?
The other was a man of about 40, big, beefy. And in spite of his rather flashy clothes, he looked as though he hadn't shaved his fat, truculent face for a couple of days.
Well, I'm sure glad he's okay, Sergeant. Only, how was I to know he wasn't somebody come to carry out them threats against
him?
You know, you're lucky you didn't aim those shots at him, Bertie.
Me actually trying to kill somebody, Sergeant? Like I told you, I know the noise it'd bring on the nearest flatfoot.
Bertie, huh?
Yeah. Gee, Mr. Dollar.
Now, you just take it easy, Dollar. Bertie nearly broke your head when he found you prowling around his home a while ago.
Oh, brother, you're telling me.
But I didn't know, Dollar. I didn't know who you was till me and a cop went through your pockets and seen your identification.
Okay, now look.
I come home and seen you sneaking around and... that gasoline all over my garage like somebody was going to put a torch to it.
Okay, okay, Bertie.
So you can't blame me for slugging.
Yeah, no,
but
Bertie.
I'm sure sorry I did it, Dolla. Dolla, the hospital bill's on me, so live it up, huh?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, now, Bertie, Dolla's going to be all right, so you go along, huh? I'll check with you later.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. I'm going up in the country to make sure my wife's all right.
Up in the country?
Yeah, up in the Catskills with a couple of relatives, Mac and Josie. Oh, you don't think I'd leave her stay around here with those people on the phone saying they're going to burn me out if I don't stop yapping that committee?
And you don't know who it is making the threats, huh?
I sure wished I did.
Okay, run along now, Bertie.
No, wait, please.
Well, what is it, Doc?
Well, I'd like to talk to Bertie some more.
Sure.
No, not until the medics say you're all right and let you out of here. And besides, I want to talk to you myself. Now, go along, Bertie.
Yeah, sure.
All right, now look, Sergeant.
Just stay flat on the bed, Dollar. You know, you're lucky Bertie didn't kill you. And I can't say I would have blamed him. Why didn't you come to me before trying to contact him? I could have given you all the information you need about this case.
Now, look, Sergeant.
I not only have saved you a lot of trouble, that kept you from getting banged on the head.
Okay, okay.
All you private dicks are alike.
Now listen, will you?
As for that nosy guy over at your insurance company who's been bothering me 3 and 4 times a day, well, now I've got 2 of you to keep from upsetting the apple cart.
What's that supposed to mean?
Bertie Larson isn't the man this investigating committee's after.
What?
Of course not. He's strictly small time. And he hasn't even been that since he served a stretch on a burglary arson rap.
What about the narcotics and gambling that's under investigation?
He was never any more than a messenger boy for the big shot.
Well, now, what's the importance of these hearings?
Now, don't you see? If the committee can hold him up as a guy who talks and doesn't get hurt by him, well, it'll help them flush out some of the others. And who knows? Maybe some of his information might have a little value, and he'd be glad to give it.
Yeah? Why?
Bertie's been trying to run a used car business.
Legitimate? Or is it cover-up for something else?
Legitimate.
You're sure of that?
Dollar, that stupid punk has been so scared since he got out of the clink. And listen.
I'm listening.
The publicity that he's been getting from the hearing, you know, because of cooperating with the committee, why, it's practically made a public hero out of him. Who knows? Maybe it'll help his business enough to get him out of the red for once. That's why he's singing like a canary, probably making half of it up just to keep his name in the paper.
Well, what about the threats he's been getting?
You know something? We've only got his word about those threats. For all we know, he's making them up himself.
Maybe.
Oh, all right, all right. So what if some of his old pals are calling him up, telling him to lay off, huh? If they try anything foolish, we'll nab them. Matter of fact, there are a few of those guys around here we'd just love to have something on. So maybe all this will flush them out for us.
Or get Bertie killed.
Ask me. I don't think anybody'd even bother to rub him out.
I hope you're right, Sergeant.
Sure, sure. Oh, Ollie, that's that.
No,
when you're
wait.
Up and around, come on over to the station and see me. But meantime, leave this to me, will you?
Oh, wait a minute, will you? What about that gasoline he mentioned that was spilled all over his garage?
Oh, one of those shots he fired.
And now, look.
And drilled a hole in a can of gas he had lying around.
Yeah?
Sure, saw it there myself.
Look, Sergeant.
See you later, Dolly.
Wait a minute, will you? Sergeant! Sergeant! There was something all wrong about the whole setup. I smelled the gasoline around that garage before Bertie Larson had slugged me. And what about the can of gasoline he said was left on his doorstep as a warning? That somebody'd burn him out if he kept on testifying before the Special Investigating Committee. Were the police overlooking that? And then, suddenly, I began to smell a rat, a big one. Don't ask me why. I climbed rather painfully out of the hospital bed, put on my clothes, and pulled the corny trick of going out by way of the fire escape. Luck was with me. The police had left my rental car in the hospital parking lot. I spent on them $4.50 in a bar and a grill for a slug of brandy and some hot black coffee. But I was still feeling pretty rocky, so I took my time driving out to Bertie Larson's place again. As I stepped out of the car, I noticed a light coming from an open window at the rear and a big sedan back in front of the garage, the trunk of it wide open. Bertie's, or the car of someone who'd come to put the torch to his home. I didn't have to wait long for an answer. Bertie.
Huh?
Going up in the country, huh, to see your wife.
Oh, Dollar.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, say, listen, Dollar. It's lucky you come by here.
Is it? Lucky for you or for me?
Oh, no, listen. I come by to pick up some things, you know, to haul up to my wife. You know what happens?
Yeah.
When I pulls up in the driveway, there's some guy running away out back. So I yells him to stop, but he keeps on going. And it's so dark, I can't see where to throw a shot. And listen.
I'm listening.
Then I smell gasoline. It's coming from inside the house. So I unlock the door and go in, and you know what I find in there?
Go on, Bertie.
Come on. Come on inside, Dollar. I'll show you. Well, it's lucky I come by here. That's all I gotta say.
Hey, wait a minute. Were you figuring on moving out of here?
Huh? What do you mean?
Oh, now, don't tell me this is all the furniture you keep in this place.
Well, of course not. I sent a lot up to Josie and Mac from while my wife is staying with them.
But if the place burned down, you wouldn't hesitate to collect insurance on all the furnishings, would you?
You're trying to be funny, Dollar. Now, look. Look here in my den. You see? You see where somebody dumped gas all over the rug? Lay them celluloid strips and out over the windowsill so as he could put a match to it from the outside?
Yeah, I see, Bertie.
Well, it's the guy I seen running away from you was going to find me out. You see how he broke in by forcing a screen on that window?
I see where this screen was bashed out from the inside.
What'd you say?
And I fail to see any footprints in the flower bed below it. No wonder you served the term for arson, among other things.
Huh? Oh, listen.
I mean the sloppy setup you made here.
What are you talking about?
You've been losing your shirt in the used car business. So it looked like you might have to take a chance with the rackets again.
Are you out of your mind?
But then this investigating committee came along, talking freely before them, gave you an excuse to claim you were getting threats.
Oh, now, listen.
You filled up the insurance on this place to the limit. Then gave out the tale about gasoline left on your doorstep as a warning.
Oh, listen.
All of it. So that when your house went up in flames, everybody would think it was set by the mythical person who was supposed to be making the threats.
You're crazy.
In the meantime, of course, you carefully emptied the place of anything valuable. In storage with these pals of yours, Josie and Mac, up in the Catskills, if any such people really exist. This home and the garage would probably be nothing but ashes right now if I hadn't come along earlier.
Could have killed you then, Dallas, so maybe I'd better...
I think you were just a lousy shot.
Yeah?
But when all that noise brought the police and you found out who I am... Why, sure, you could use me to help build up your case for whenever you decided to fire this place. You thought. But it didn't work, Bertie, because... Oh, no, you don't. Come on, put your hand up. Come on, over your head. Reach, Bertie.
No, listen.
Can't even pull a gun quickly, can you?
You don't need to, Dallas.
Oh, what?
Don't move, I'm right in back of you. Drop the gun.
Kill him. Yeah, Nora, kill him. We'll fire the joint and get up in a country where Josie and Mac will swear we've been with them all the time.
Yeah, Bertie.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. And listen, we'll strip this guy after you knock him off. They'll find his bones after the fire and they'll think it's me. That's another $20,000 of insurance to collect.
No, Bertie.
What?
I'm leaving both of you here.
You gone crazy?
After this nice setup, I'd be crazy if I didn't take all I could get out of it. You ready, Bertie?
Oh, listen!
All right, Dollar, now it's you.
Got it, Nora!
Where'd you come from, you dirty...
Thanks, Sergeant.
Well, that's okay, Dollar. But you can be mighty glad that hospital called me up when they found you'd sneaked out on them.
You know something, Sergeant?
Yeah?
I'm mighty glad. Expense account total, including my hospital bill, my room at the Bellevue, and a couple of meals, plus, of course, the trip back to Hartford, $79.75. Remarks? Why bother? From here on in, it's up to the company and the police to straighten things out. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, Sarasota, Florida. A body floating in a bayou. And one too many suspects. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Harry Bartell, Don Diamond, and Bert Holland. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Dan Cumberley speaking.
Take the last trip, a bizarre way to end a romantic triangle, on Suspense, next on the CBS Radio Network.